You're listening to Transforming Insight, the podcast for anyone who has the ambition to transform their insight team and create an insight-driven organization. Your host is James Witcherly, Chief Executive of the Insight Management Academy and the author of the book Transforming Insight, The 42 Secrets of Successful Corporate Insight Teams.
Hello again, and welcome to the latest episode of the Transforming Insight podcast. This one is called Making Up the Numbers. In episode 5 of our podcast, we introduced the Made in Insight model, and I suggested that it can help insight teams to identify value and drive change, and a way of thinking that the IMA refers to as mapping from the market to the money. It can save insight teams from acting like engineers without a blueprint. In this episode, we're going to consider how our insight teams should work if they don't have access to all the hard data they would like to populate their made models. So let's start with a question. Does your insight team make up its numbers? The very idea probably fills you with horror, but I'm going to argue that making up the numbers is actually a critical skill for everyone in insight. I said in the first introductory episode of this podcast that it's a great time to be in insight, and it is. Almost without exception, our organisations at least claim to recognise the need for a more data-led, insight-driven approach to decision-making. The demand for greater knowledge about customers, the decisions they make, and the drivers of those decisions is ever increasing. And the pandemic, the lockdowns, and the massive changes that have followed, well, they've put insight higher on the corporate agenda than ever before. It follows that many organisations are now investing more in their analytics capability, whether it's in data and software or in the people with the right skill sets. At the IMA, we believe this represents a huge opportunity for the role that insight can play in driving corporate decisions. In the best cases, insight professionals are now seen as the translators within our businesses, making the links from the data and the research to the key decisions. But to support agile decision-making, our senior stakeholders often need answers fast, even if it's just something to work with. So for every decision, a trade-off needs to be made between insights based on perfect data and very agile decision-making. And it's this middle ground where the most workable solutions are often found. One of my colleagues at the IMA, Julia Joski, believes that there are 4 key aspects that every insight team should explore to bridge this gap between agile decision-making and great insights. These are, number 1, to understand the difference between accuracy and precision. Number 2, to use the Boeing technique to scope issues with rough calculations. Number 3, find a big number that can put other numbers into context. And number 4, practicing our mental maths and using shortcuts to make sums easier. Let's have a look at each of these in turn. First, it's really important that anyone working in insight understands the difference between precision and accuracy. So does your insight team focus on generating precise data or on accurate insights? A measurement that is accurate but not precise can still be very helpful. But a measurement that's precise but inaccurate is not just unhelpful, it's often dangerously misleading. It's better to be broadly right than precisely wrong. As a society, we tend to put a lot of faith in precision. We've seen examples of this during the coronavirus crisis, where statistics such as the number of people tested, infected, or hospitalised have been quoted in very, very precise terms. And precision is often valued above everything else in our companies, and rightly so in some departments like payroll, operations, and HR. But some customer and market issues don't lend themselves to precision. This is partly because of the issues themselves. For example, how consumers feel, or why they act in a particular way, the likely size of a market for a new product before it's launched. It can also be due to the partial or imperfect data available to us to solve problems. In many instances, an accurate range of outcomes is far more useful in insight than a precise number that will almost certainly never be right and might well give a false impression of confidence. The second point is to adopt a back-of-an-envelope approach when we first start thinking about a problem or a question. Before we do any detailed analysis or research, it's helpful to do some rough calculations to understand the size and scope of what we're dealing with. The IMA's co-founder, Steve Wills, called this the Boeing technique, back of an envelope, intelligent guesswork. You might just want to call it estimation, whatever. For example, if you're doing some work on the new automobile market in Canada, but you didn't know how big it was, you could probably make a reasonable estimate using Boeing. If you knew how many adults lived in Canada, you could perhaps estimate the number who drive, and then the proportion of those drivers who owned their own vehicle, and in turn, what percentage might buy a new car each year. None of these estimates would be exactly right, of course, but combining them in a logical sequence would help you to identify a sense of scale. You can then talk to others or do some digging yourself to refine that estimate. Boeing relies on a combination of facts, assumptions, and logic. Facts should be the things we can all agree on, likewise the logic of how we would put the elements in any calculation together to produce an overall estimate. But the critical element is often the assumptions we make to fill those gaps. This bit might surprise you, but we actually want our stakeholders to challenge our assumptions. Imagine that, when we use Boeing. This is because our stakeholders may be in a better position to supply an accurate figure, but also because being transparent about our assumptions helps us to work collaboratively with others and get to better answers. The third aspect is to know how to handle big numbers. Insight is so often all about perspective. If we can understand the context, that bigger picture, we can then find the best ways to interpret a new number or a finding without getting lost in the detail. This is such an important aspect of insight work. Every day we face situations in our society, in politics, and in our own organisations when we see people react to numbers without having an appropriate sense of perspective or scale. I think this is particularly the case for customer and market data because insight teams tend to be the only functions within many companies that look at those. By contrast, something like sales figures, revenue, number of employees, etc. Well, these are often numbers that many people in the company know quite well. In fact, they may even be in the public domain. Now, you could well argue that far more people in our organisations ought to know their customer numbers as well. But that's an issue we'll explore in detail in future episodes of this podcast. For now, let it be our mission to never report a new finding without first providing the context. Never to supply a new number without first reminding our audience of a number that's been known for some time and that will help them to evaluate the new one. The fourth point is about improving our mental maths. People commonly make mistakes in mental arithmetic. It's pretty easy, isn't it, to get the decimal point in the wrong place or miss a zero off somewhere. But the good news for all of us is that it gets easier the more you practice, especially if we focus on getting to a reasonably accurate answer, not a really precise one. One technique for making our mental maths easier is explained by Rob Eastaway in his great book, Maths on the Back of an Envelope. Rob advocates the Z-equals method. That's a technique where you round every number to see one significant figure. So 365 becomes 400, for example, or 5,326 million becomes 5 billion. This massively reduces the complexity of any sum we want to do in our heads, and it's a great shortcut both for our Boeing exercises and for appreciating the relative size of big numbers. Adopting these four practices that Julia advocates can help us to develop better perspective, enhance our agility, and give us greater confidence and credibility with decision makers. If your insight team doesn't make up the numbers yet, now's the time to start. So, in my book, Transforming Insight, I said that the fourth secret of successful corporate insight teams is that they value accuracy over precision, and they take a creative approach to estimating numbers. If you would like to explore this topic further, you might like to read the IMA's Insight Leader Guide, IMP 103, How to Make Up the Numbers, which is available on our website for everyone whose organisation has a corporate membership and who has a licence to access member content. You might also want to consider one of the workshops provided as part of the IMA's Transforming Insight programme, TIP 801, Commercial Thinking for Insight.
You're listening to the Transforming Insight podcast, published by the Insight Management Academy, the world's leading authority on transforming corporate insight teams.
The ability to estimate the size of the prize is critical for insight teams, and it's one that we spent some time practicing at the Insight Forums held in London and Manchester in November 21. The participants then included insight leaders from organisations as diverse as Tesco, Springer Nature, Kraft Heinz, the Co-op Group, Deliveroo and Pizza Express. And we asked them to estimate the size of the toothpaste market in the UK. Now, none of the participants had any specialist knowledge at all of oral healthcare, and none had worked in the toothpaste category. And of course, we banned the use of mobile phones, so nobody could just go and Google the answers. Instead, we allowed 15 minutes for several groups of about six insight leaders to debate how they would approach the issue on their tables. What followed was a lively, and at times really amusing, conversation, as everyone debated just how much toothpaste a household really needed, and whether there would be bonus marks awarded for, I don't know, considering canine toothpaste as part of the calculation. But more importantly, a consensus was reached quite quickly across the groups concerning a logical sequence of estimates needed in order to solve the overall problem. Each group agreed that they should first establish the population of the UK and the number of distinct households. Then they looked at the frequency with which each of those households might buy a tube of toothpaste, and hence an estimate of the number of tubes sold in the UK each year. And the final step was just to put a figure on the average price paid per tube, and then multiply that by the number of tubes to reach an estimate of the size of the market. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? What I hope becomes clear from a very simple example like this is that even if we have no prior knowledge of a topic at all, we can arrive at a perfectly reasonable estimate if we use facts, assumptions, and logic. We identify the facts that we'd like, a logical way of putting those facts together, and then we make clear our assumptions where we don't have hard facts, so that anyone that we're talking to can challenge those assumptions, or at least see the importance of them, and how taking a different set of assumptions would have had an impact on our overall estimate. There is a particularly pressing need for insight managers, analysts, and researchers to be able to use techniques like this to quantify the size of the prize associated with business projects, not least to check that a project is worth the insight team's time and effort, or, perhaps more precisely, more worthy of it than a competing project. But an ability to estimate with confidence, to build on established facts, and to venture an opinion about the shape of a market or a consumer segment or a propensity to buy, to renew, to upgrade, or to downgrade, that's a key part of the insight toolkit. And it does become a lot easier with practice. Inspired by a number of workshops with the IMA's co-founder, Steve Wills, the Tesco Insight team in the UK began to hold Boeing of the Month competitions to see which team member could most accurately predict a market size or the value associated with a business project. Not only does frequent repetition like that make mental maths easier, it also helps to establish some key numbers like the size of a country's population, or the number of households in it, or the percentage of consumers that are found in a particular segment, or who behave in a certain way. There's every chance that the decision makers who form your insight team stakeholders won't be as familiar as you might think with some of those numbers. And repeating them when walking through Boeing assumptions is a great way to identify gaps in people's knowledge or differing assumptions about the size and shape of your business, your market, or your customer base. So here's a reminder of five key points that you might like to take away from this podcast. Number one. To be effective, insight professionals need to balance the drive for perfect insight with the need to support agile decision-making. Number two, we need to understand the difference between accuracy and precision. In insight, it's better to be broadly right than precisely wrong. Number three, at the start of any research or analysis project, get into the habit of using the Boeing technique to do some rough calculations on the size and scope of the issues that you're looking at. Number four, to effectively handle big numbers, first strive to identify some even bigger ones that can then provide you with context and a true sense of scale. And number five, practice those mental math skills and find useful shortcuts to make your sums easier. In the last couple of episodes, we've looked at how to map our business issues and how to deal with gaps in our knowledge. But what are the steps that we should follow when decision makers ask us to work on a new piece of research or analysis? That's the topic we'll look at in the next episode of our Transforming Insight podcast.
Thank Thank you for listening. Transforming Insight is available on all leading podcast platforms. Subscribe now to get notified when the next episode is released. Check out all the resources in the show notes and sign up to our email list. The Transforming Insight podcast is brought to you by the Insight Management Academy, who reserves the rights to the content. For more information on any of the ideas discussed in the episode, please visit www.insight-management.org.